All right, 6:06 on the show is You're Live. David Carnes with you, along with Tara V, who is also picking out the music for the show today. No, it comes on a loop, and you can't control the song sometimes. But at any rate, let's get right into it. This is a great show brought to you by InfoSystems. I love InfoSystems to death. This is a great company that not only focuses on providing amazing IT services for companies, nonprofits, educational facilities as well. They also are great because they get it. They know what it means to be part of the community. Every week, they donate this hour of your life to local nonprofits and folks that are doing good in the community. And we've got some folks that are doing a lot of good in the community. We've got some brave folks, some smart folks, some smart and brave folks. We've got everybody here for you. Let's go ahead and do the introductions. First of all, we have Karen Glenn. Karen is the executive director with STARS. She's been on the show with us a few times before. Karen, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Like 2 days ago you were on the show, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good deal. Well, it's good to have you back anyway.
Thank you.
STARS stands for Students Taking a Right Stand. This is something that is positive for students in terms of addressing issues like bullying, drugs and alcohol use in schools as well. Tonight, we're focusing primarily on bullying. One of the issues or one of the stories has been in the news a lot lately. There was an editorial recently written on a great editorial, by the way. That was written on this young man. His name is Drew Herman. Mm. Drew, how are you doing today, brother?
I'm good.
All right. My friend, how old are you?
I'm 13.
13? You're 13 years old?
Yes.
Do you sing by any chance?
No.
You should. You should sing country, and you should sing with that bass voice because you will make a bajillion dollars. All right? I'm just saying. Also, Drew's mom, Tracy, is here with us. Tracy, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
All right, very good to be with you. And on the phone, and we're going to get to her in just a second, Jessica Brookshire. Oh, Jessica, you with us?
I am.
All right. Now, Jessica, help me out. Your current title is...
I am the founder of KARMA, which is Kids Against Ridicule, Meanness, and Aggression.
All right, and I love how that, first of all, I like the idea of, and this may be wrong, Karen, but I like the idea of KARMA when it comes to bullying, right? That just in a very wrong way, probably. That makes me feel good that what is given out comes back. But at any rate, Jessica, good to have you as well. Also, and Jessica, if I may say, 2010 Miss Fountain City, is that right?
Yes. And 2011, Miss Tom Bigby, and then back in 2009, Miss Auburn Opelika. So I got a string of them.
Oh, okay, and here's what's cool about Jessica, and the reason we have Jessica on is because Jessica missed everything in the planet, victim of bullying when she was younger. So we're going to talk to Jessica about that as well. Let's go back to Karen Glenn for a second, executive director of STARS, Students Taking a Right Stand, bullying. How big of a problem is this with kids?
Well, national research suggests that 19% of students are subjected to bullying behavior. So we know that in Hamilton County that we're not immune for that. So that's one of the reasons why we started with the OVEIS Bullying Prevention Program, because we wanted to give every student an opportunity to feel safe at school. I just left a training just a few moments ago, and we were talking about how subtle messages of bullying are communicated throughout, not just in schools, but in our community, because our schools actually reflect our community. I can recall one time going home from a long day, and my husband and I were flipping through the channels trying to figure out something to watch. We thought, oh, we're going to watch Charlie Brown, Perfect Story. Well, I discovered that Lucy is a bully.
Absolute bully.
And I've watched it for years, but there's so many messages that are integrated in things that we do so often that this becomes normal. One of the things that was brought out in the training that I was in, that Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, poor little Rudolph, had been subjected to bullying behavior. So I think that there has been an unacceptable norm that has been established in our community. And, of course, this is reflected in our schools. Our students see it. They hear it on music. They see it on commercials. They hear it in a lot of different venues. And so we're swimming upstream to address this issue.
And you thought Charlie Brown was just a cartoon. No, a story of bullying and codependence, quite honestly. let's bring in Tracy and Drew. Tracy is Drew Herman's mom. And Tracy, this is just a great editorial. I know the story's made it in the Times Free Press a couple of times. The editorial, though, by David Cook, who is not only a columnist, also teaches out of GPS, really, really great guy. I'll read a little bit. This cases in regards to a bullying scenario that we're going to get into in just a moment that 13-year-old Drew was going through at school. David Cook says, keep your heart open, please. You are a victim of violence, and such a wound can make our hearts want to crawl back to the farthest corners of ourselves. Pull down the gate and clamp the locks tight, very tight. Don't. We need you in this world. We need your guts, your titanium strength backbone, which bullies can never break. We need your triple extra large sized voice, amen, which already has echoed throughout the city in the name of justice and fairness and school safety. Let's get into Drew's story just a little bit. And Tracy, why don't you kind of outline and give us the basics on what Drew went through?
He came home from school. I picked him up like I usually do on a Friday, and I could tell there was something wrong with him. And, you know, how was your day? It was okay. You know, he responds, and then, but I could tell it wasn't. And I said, what's going on? And he said, I was bullied today. And I said, well, what happened? And so he told me that day in PE class that some boys, and evidently it had been going on throughout the semester. It started more as, I guess, what would be considered just kind of horsing around. You know, a few of the guys would take their shirts off when they were changing and kind of be snapping them around. It started there in the beginning, and then it went to, you know, a boy kind of taking his belt off and swinging it around to what turned into, you know, it escalated into what happened to Drew on that day. And there were a couple other boys that were victims where they decided, you know, a group of boys decided to gang up. And they didn't have anybody in particular in mind. They just decided that that day they were going to videotape for, you know, they wanted to put it on YouTube, I guess, as they thought it was funny. And again, I really think they thought it was kind of horsing around stuff. But they got a hold of Drew. Drew was changing that day. He was down to his boxer shorts. And I think there were three that grabbed him and held him. One held the video camera. And another took a belt and hit him.
Now, well, hang on, and Drew, I'll get the microphone around you.
Actually, two of them held me down, and two of them hit me with the belt while one videoed.
All right, well, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. I want to get more into the story, and then we're going to bring Karen in, and we're also going to bring Jessica in as well to kind of comment on this, and we'll get Jessica's story also a full hour ahead talking about bullying in schools. Also, we have a special guest that's going to be calling in at 6:30, Hamilton County Superintendent Rick Smith. All of that just ahead, 6:14, when we continue with Your Live, brought to you by InfoSystems Technology on News Talk 95.3 WPLZ. Six 19. The show is Your Live. David Carnes is brought to you by InfoSystems Technology. Great hour focusing on bullying in schools. Let's go back, and we're going to bring on in just a second Jessica Brookshire, a 22-year-old graduate of Auburn University, and right now affiliated with a great organization called Karma, which focuses on eliminating bullying and dealing with it. We were talking, though, about Drew Herman and the story of his. 13 years old, goes to a local middle school, and was suffering at the hands of a lot of bullies. How many folks? Five? And Drew, you were saying before the break that they basically held you down, and things kind of escalated, and it got to the point where they were videotaping, basically beating you.
Yeah.
So the normal tendency at 13 years old, the normal thing that most people would do, not tell, this is something that had happened to other kids too, you just hope it goes away and you be quiet. That's probably what they were expecting. That's what most kids do. You did not. You spoke up. Talk about your decision to speak up, to say something.
Well, it's been happening for, like my mom said, it has been happening for quite a while. And, the reason I really wanted to tell, the decision to tell was because, after PE, apparently it happened to another boy, and they were telling me how what happened to him was worse than what they did to me. So I just thought to myself, well, this has to be stopped. Somebody has to put an end to this because we can't let this go on.
Now, what has been the reaction of other students in the school? Have you been celebrated as a hero by students? Have people said bad things to you? What's been the response?
People have been saying bad things about me, saying I can't believe you told, we lost three of our best players on the football team because you told, and just mostly like that. They're all focused on the football team.
Have there been any other incidences of bullying as a result of this, because of this?
I don't really know.
Not to you, though.
Yeah. No, not to me.
Okay, well, Tracy, Drew's mom, I know you're proud as punch of your son. I mean, this is great stuff. But your heart also has to go out to him because you remember what it's like in middle school and high school even. You know what he's going through.
Yep.
You know how other kids are looking at him. So what as a mom can you do?
Well, I have tried to, throughout all of this, let my intellect override my emotion. Because if I let my emotion come into play, obviously I want to grab up every boy that was involved and take a belt to him myself.
And Karen, that's bad, right? We can't do that?
We don't encourage retaliation in that manner.
Just asking.
Right. But I mean, I know that's not.
But it's
that's
a normal feeling. Yeah.
And that's not the right thing to do. That's not going to get us anywhere. I mean, you know, throughout all of this, all I really want, obviously, is my son's safety in school. I want him to feel safe. I mean, and that's kind of where we're at, you know, with the stand in moving forward is I want the school to assure me that they will protect my child. And, you know, with the having to go to the media and bring this to light, you know, we like the school that we belong to. Drew likes it. We've been happy with it thus far. And, you know, sadly, when it comes to this, we just haven't been able to get all of the answers that are going to ensure of his safety.
Well, I know as a mom, you're going to bulldog this and not let it go, which as well you should. Let's take a quick break. More with Drew, Tracy. Jessica, are you still with us? She's not. Okay, well, Jessica's there. We're going to get to Jessica Brookshire, 22-year-old graduate of Auburn University, very successful on the pageant circuit, has done very well. Gorgeous young woman, and she also a victim of bullying when she was younger, and now she has made that her platform. We're going to talk to her. We also have Superintendent of Hamilton County Schools, Rick Smith. He's going to call in for a few minutes. All that, and Karen Glenn, I promise we're going to get you in here as well. It's all your live News Talk 95.3, focusing on bullying this hour. Thank you so much to InfoSystems Technology, WPLZ. The show is Your Live. I'm David Carnes, focusing on bullying this hour. And Superintendent Rick Smith will be calling in just a moment. We've been focusing on the story of Drew Herman, which has been documented in the paper fairly well. His mom, Tracy Sims, is in studio as well. We'll talk more with them in a moment. We also have Karen Glenn, Executive Director of STARS, also a number of great programs that are in place that we're going to talk about before the end of the hour that are in place to try to alleviate some of the issues surrounding bullying coming up in just a moment. Right now, she has been waiting so patiently. Let's bring on Jessica Brookshire. Jessica, thank you so much for being part of the show tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Jessica, just by way of introduction, 22-year-old, 2009 graduate of Auburn University, a bachelor degree in international trade and Spanish and a minor in political science, currently pursuing a master's of Hispanic studies for Auburn University, also has been very successful on the, I'm going to say pageant circuit, but if that's a wrong way or to say it.
No, that's correct. Actually, I'm now 24, and I have finished my master's, and I have since aged out of the system, which is another, I guess you could say, pageant term.
Okay.
At 24, you're no longer eligible to compete, but I did compete in the Miss Alabama system for 3 years, and karma was my platform, bullying was my platform, and I have since turned it into my job.
Well, let's talk about why it's your platform. I know this is an issue that, and it's hard to believe. I'm looking at your photo, beautiful young woman, obviously, full of confidence, seemingly, and this is something that you dealt with. Talk about your experience with bullying first.
Well, I was teased primarily, kindergarten, second grade, you know, just name-calling and teasing for different things. And in third grade was my marker where I say it became bullying, when a child in my class called me ugly and someone else laughed. And from that point forward, I was an ugly girl. I had convinced myself of that because my classmates told me that and because their laughter reinforced it. In middle school, I was the brunt of jokes. I was caught up in the rumor mill and the social exclusion and the gossiping and the name calling and just meanness. And then in high school that continued. And actually I was laughed at my high school graduation. So it was nonstop.
You were laughed at your high school graduation. Karen, I'm going to bring you in on this because this is interesting to me. Okay. Now this is something that is seen. I know it happens in every single school. I don't care if it's public, private, whatever. It happens in every single school, every single day on multiple levels. And this is something that kids have zero clue how they are really impacting another person's life. I've been through this. Actually, almost a similar story, except yeah. I was the stupid kid, right? And that kind of played on itself, and that was a large portion of my high school experience. Karen, is this something that we're addressing also, just how students
yes.
see other students?
Absolutely. In fact, one of the reasons why we adopted the OVEAS initiative is because it pulls in key components. One of those is a classroom meeting component, and that's where students actually learn those appropriate socialization skills. We see in our community, in our society, that these socialization skills are very much lacking. And empathy is not something that many people understand. They confuse it, especially younger students. They confuse it with sympathy. But when we can have conversations with students and help them understand how someone else feels when this happens to them, then we can change some of that behavior. As I said earlier, we see the inappropriate behaviors all around us. And so it's not an easy task because we're changing something that has already been so subtly implemented in so many thinking in so many venues, whether it's music, whether it's television shows, whether it's cartoons, what have you. They see it all the time. So it's going to take effort to teach those appropriate socialization skills so that they know how someone else is feeling. And that's one of the components that OVEAS includes in that training.
Bullying, the focus of this edition of Your Live on WPLZ, brought to you by InfoSystems. Let's bring on, he's on the line, Superintendent Rick Smith of Hamilton County Schools. And Rick, as you've been listening to the conversation so far, I mean, not to get into any case-specific things, I know we can't do that, but just bullying in general, how much of a front burner issue is that in all reality when you're addressing as a school system all of the other things that you have to deal with? Rick, are you with us? Rick, if you could start.
Actually,
Rick, real quick, if you could.
Bullying is becoming more and more prevalent. It's something that we're starting to look at a lot more closely. As Karen said, there are programs to address bullying, and I know Karen does a great job. I think right now she's really focusing on the middle schools, from what I understand, which I think is probably the area that we start to see bullying become much more of an issue. And I heard Karen address the fact that, having been a middle school principal in the past, that that's something that every middle school has to deal with. The thing that we want to do as a school system is deal with bullying. We would ask parents to talk to the teachers, counselors, certainly the administrators, if they discover that certain social behaviors are occurring that need to be addressed. We would also ask parents to work with us and help us with this issue. Those of us that have been around a long time know this has been something that has existed, unfortunately, in our society for quite some time.
Now, Rick, let me jump in and ask you another question. This is, and sure. Karen, I think, disagrees with me a little bit on this. We're talking off air about it. I'm very pragmatic about it. I think there are two things that you could do. And I don't understand for the life of me why this hasn't happened in schools all across America, why it still goes on. But there are two simple things that could be done to alleviate a large percentage of bullying. Thing number one, never, ever, ever in the future of schools ever let children pick sides and pick teams. That's number one.
I would agree with you on that.
Number two is I'm a firm believer that any place that a child is changing, going to the restroom, bathrooms, locker rooms, scenarios like that, there has to be an adult there. An adult that's watching over, not eagle-eyed, monitoring, not trusting, but just making sure that everybody is acting appropriately. Is that something that has been looked at, or am I way off base here with that?
Well, I think let me take the second issue first, if I may.
Sure.
I do agree that supervision is very important. We are very aware, where many of the activities that are inappropriate activities occur. However, we also have to recognize the fact that kids are at particular ages, sometimes will find a way to be out of sight of adults or supervision. There are, as specifically you address locker rooms, dressing areas, of course, we need to have appropriate supervision, especially during school hours. I would hope that in situations where we have athletic teams, that coaches are, their coaches are on duty and supervising the athletes. The first issue, choosing sides, I may have to think a bit more about that. I think I understand your point.
Maybe it's because I was always last picked.
I understand your point. I think the point you're making is if you are the kid who is on the playground and is chosen last every day at recess, that can get to be a problem.
And not only does it make you feel bad, but it also it establishes you as the kid that's not good at sports, the kid that's not something.
Exactly.
And Karen, I said disagreed. I don't know if she totally disagrees with me on the issue of having adults in locker rooms, bathrooms, but you say there's more to it than that.
Well, I think that that's ideal. I think it would be ideal to have an adult with in every place where there could be potentially bullying behaviors. But is it realistic? Absolutely not. And so what we have to do is we have to teach the appropriate skills so that the students know what the expectations are of them, and then have consequences when they don't follow those guidelines. Because, as the superintendent said, of course, what we do when we rely solely on supervision is that we give students an opportunity to become more creative and more secretive in the behaviors that they're going to engage in, when really what we want them to do is we want them to have a community mind in their school so that they're treating one another respectfully.
And Rick, I know I'd promise you I would only keep you on 5 minutes. If you have to go, that's fine. I want to bring Jessica Brookshire back in. And Rick, I want to thank you so much taking the time to be part of the show today.
Yeah.
Jessica Brookshire, founder of Karma. And I'm going to throw this question at you, Jessica, and just let you have at it, because you've got some, I was reading over some of your information, and you've got some great ideas about stopping bullying as well. Karma stands for Kids Against Ridicule, Meanness, and Aggression. I love that, by the way. So how can we stop bullying in schools, Jessica?
Well, I actually own Kids Against Ridicule, Meanness, and Aggression. I started it 2 years ago. As of this week, I've spoken to over 104,000 students face-to-face. I am familiar with the Olivais method, but I will say that I think and I've listened to everything that's been said, and I will say that what our superintendents and our parents even and our adult-level leaders, we have been dealing with bullying for a long time. We have been conscious of it, and we have been searching for ways to work with it and to try to help alleviate the situation, and it's not getting any better. And where you see the turnaround is when you can finally step back and realize that we are not the ones bullying the children. They're doing it to each other. And like you said, I think, Karen, that you have to change this socialized behavior. Yes, you do. But one thing I heard as a common theme in this conversation, and that I hear a lot in what I work with, is adults saying, we need to do more of this. We need more policies. We need more rules. We don't need to let children do this. We do need to let them do this. And that's all true, but I don't think we're giving our kids enough credit for their intelligence and their maturity level. Third graders, I'm meeting third graders that are cutting and burning their arms as a result of the pain they're in from bullying. It's happening younger than ever. And kids are smart enough to tease one another and tear one another down. I promise you, they are smart enough to understand what they're doing if we make them conscious of it, which is what I do in my assemblies. I remind them that this is a person's emotions you're playing with. When I tell them my story, every child in an assembly will have tears in their eyes. They'll be angry at my bullies for me. They'll laugh with me at the funny parts. They'll be upset with me at the sad parts. And then I finish my story and I tell them, how many of you have been through something similar? Every hand will raise. And then they realize, oh, well, my situation, I was just as mean to that one person as this bully was to Jessica. And they start to apply it. Kids already know not to bully. We just have to remind them to apply that in their daily life. And so Karma really takes a positive standpoint, more of a position of not don't bully. Kids know not to bully. They know not to be mean to one another. It's more of encouraging them to be positive and to help one another, to encourage one another, and to build their classmates up.
Do you think they, Jessica, understand the gravity of the... I agree they understand it's wrong. They know they shouldn't. That's why they're doing it in bathrooms and locker rooms, because they know they can get away with it and nobody will see. But do they understand the emotional damage that's being done? Like in your case specifically,
no.
You know, I mean, they were teasing and probably said things that are said a million times in every other school and all across the country. But they just don't get exactly the depth of the hurt that they're causing.
Well, and that's exactly what I thought. When I started to think back on my years being bullied, and I really reflected, I don't think that my bullies truly hated me or wanted me to be depressed or crying or whatever it was. I don't think they meant to break me down. I think that nobody stopped for a second when they were laughing at me to think, huh, I wonder if Jessica thinks this is as funny as I do. Nobody took that 2 seconds. And so that's what I've really come to base my presentations on, is reminding kids, this is what you're doing. And I do.
I think we lost Jessica for a second, but Karen, let's bring you into this just from a, and we'll kind of piggyback on what she was on what Jessica Brookshire was saying, founder of Karma. Go ahead.
Well, I think that when you talk about the whole scenario of bullying, the majority of the students in this scenario will be the bystanders. You have one student that is the lead bully. You have one student that is the defender. And then you have the majority of the students there that are bystanders. And as Jessica was saying, there's a lot of laughter. But the reality is many of them may be laughing, but feeling badly about what's happening. That's the easy thing, and that's the safe thing to do. They want to befriend the bully because they don't want to be the next one that's involved. So what we have to do is we have to teach the students to side with the defender, not with the bully. I mean, maybe they don't have the strength to go up to someone that's, you know, 6 feet tall and say, don't do that. You be nice to him. Maybe they don't have those skills. But what they can be taught to do is just don't laugh, because when they laugh, what they do is they validate it. Mm. When they videotape it, that's what they do. They validate it. They reinforce it. And then the person that's engaging in this antisocial behavior is pumped up and is reinforced, and this cycle tends to continue to happen.
All right, let's take a quick break. We do have Jessica back on the phone. We're going to bring Tracy into this conversation as well. Tracy Sims, her son Drew, a victim of bullying that's been documented in the paper recently. We'll talk more with them as well, continuing this important hour on bullying in our schools with our young kids. We want this to stop. We got to get a handle on it. We're back right after this. It's News Talk 95.3, this hour of your life, brought to you by the great folks of InfoSystems Technology, infosystems.biz, BIZWPLZ. It's 6:49. The show is Your Life, this important hour on bullying, brought to you by InfoSystems Technology. See what InfoSystems can do in terms of IT solutions for your company, your nonprofit, your educational facility. Go to infosystems.biz. News Talk 95.3 WPLZ. Let's welcome our guest back, Jessica Brookshire. She is the founder of Karma, Kids Against Ridicule, Meanness, Aggression, and I believe she's back on the line with us. We also have Karen Glenn, the executive director of STARS, Students Taking a Right Stand. We also have Drew Herman, who has been a victim of bullying. He's 13 years old, one of the honestly bravest young men that you'll ever meet in your life, 13 years old. And he basically stood up and he said, hey, this cannot go on. He was a victim of bullying, and he addressed it and found some resolution in that those bullies were suspended, and it's kind of going through the process now. Tracy is Drew's mom, and Tracy, let's piggyback on some of the things that Jessica was saying, as well as Karen. I'll just kind of let you address that.
I can't remember the last thing we left. The last thing we left off at saying, well, but as they were speaking, and again, where that went, I'm not sure, but one thing that came to mind was that one of Drew's bullies, there were five assailants, and one boy did come up to him later in the day and apologize for what he had done. So obviously he had felt some remorse, though Drew told me later he didn't forgive him because he was too upset, angry, humiliated by everything that had happened. But obviously this bully, this one child in particular that was involved in it, felt that he was just going along with it for whatever reason.
And that's what Karen was saying earlier, is that you know, that's very common, especially in groups like that. Maybe you have one instigator, but and there's a great video on YouTube about how people follow a crowd, and if one person is doing something, then all it takes is one other person to come alongside and go with them, and that validates it. Then you'll have a whole crowd of people soon following and doing the same thing, while maybe it's only one person that is really the absolute jerk in the room. Everybody else is kind of going along with it. That was kind of the case with him, wasn't it, with Drew?
It appears to be, at least the one in particular. I mean, you know, I got the story from Drew and the way it was documented and how, because obviously we had to get the police involved, and so there was, you know, some investigation that took place, and one in particular did seem to show remorse and even said so to the officer when he was questioned and the administration at Hunter Middle.
Now, the kids have been suspended. On a go-forward basis, I can't. How does Drew, I mean, is he worried? And Drew, you can address this as well. I mean, You're 13. You're going to middle school. How do you feel going to school now? Do you enjoy going to school? What's it like?
Well, I mean, now knowing that they're suspended, I mean, I feel okay for now. But like when they're able to come back, like after the Christmas break or whatever, I don't know how to feel. Like if I should be scared or. I don't know.
Would you like to, and I'll let the adults in the room chime in, and Jessica, I know you're on, chime in on this as well, but Drew, would it be something, would you like to sit down in a room with them, maybe with your mom, with some of the administration, and just talk about what went on and get them to verbally say something to you or just kind of get it out in the open, or do you just kind of want to avoid them at this point? And to the adults, what is the right thing to do? But let's start with Drew.
Well, if the situation was to maybe calm down a little bit where they weren't angry at me or anymore, then possibly yes. But now, right now, I still really just don't want to see them because I'm still scared. Mm-hmm. Just like because I could see them at like Walmart or something.
Yeah, that's totally understandable. And what is advisable, adults? And I tell you, Jessica, let's bring you back in because I know your phone's dropping off like every 5 seconds. We want to grab you as much as we can. But with you being the founder of Karma, Kids Against Ridicule, Meanness, Aggression, bullying is something that you deal with all the time. Is this something that is advisable? Just having a bully as well as the victim get together in a room, talk things out. Is that one way we can make these guys see the impact that they're having?
In most cases, yes. In most cases, I encourage students to communicate with their bullies. I think what I see, and I'm not working with research and statistics and paper. I'm working in the schools, I guess you could say, in the trenches with these kids face-to-face every day. And what I see the most of is miscommunication. One child says something mean that they may have seen on a movie or whatever, or don't realize the implications. The other child gets their feelings hurt, and instead of telling the bully, that hurt my feelings, they go off and tell their friends, and it starts the rumor mill, yada, yada, yada. So I do encourage kids to communicate. If your feelings are hurt, tell them. If it bothers you, tell them. You have no idea how much that could help a situation. But in this instance, with such a malicious, intentional act as this, I don't know that it would be a good idea. If it makes Drew feel better to sit down with them, then absolutely, because that's the main focus here, is to make sure he's comfortable and safe in his learning environment and he feels better about the situation. But I just think that this is outside of an act of bullying. This is an intentional, malicious act of violence in a school and should be handled as such. And I don't know that these kids are safe for Drew to be around until they prove that they've changed whatever caused this behavior.
And Karen, let me, you were nodding your head in agreement with that part where this just kind of goes above and beyond and it's probably not a good idea.
Well,
let me piggyback that with another question. On a go-forward basis, is there a way that Drew can comfortably coexist in this school together? And if not, because I can imagine, I mean, there's going to be some tension there. If not, who has to go? Drew? Do we send the bullies to another school? How do we keep them separated? How do we protect Drew and make sure that he is safe?
Well, you know, I'll start with what Jessica was saying a few minutes ago about getting together and having a conversation. In a situation where two students are involved in conflict, it is very important. In fact, it's very helpful for the two to be able to sit down and talk about what the situation is and not involve all the other people, because the instigators are the ones that will inflame the situation and make it worse than it actually is. In a situation where it's bullying, where there's been an assault, then the ball is really in the court of the person that has been targeted as to whether or not they're comfortable. We don't ever recommend bringing the student that has been subjected to this behavior and the student that has been displaying the behavior face-to-face, one another, to sit down and talk it out, unless the targeted person is at a point where they want to do that.
And with time running out, is there a way, let's address the last part of that, is there a way, a method set up by which the victim of a bully and the bully can coexist in the same school while the person that has been bullied, the victim, is fully protected, feels comfortable, and feels safe in the school? Or are we just not there yet?
That is the whole purpose of training. It's the whole purpose of the initiative, is so that everyone understands it, so that every student feels safe. The behavior has to be stopped, and what we have to do is change the culture that makes this behavior acceptable.
And Tracy, as a mom, I mean, what do you think? What's your answer to keeping your son safe in school? Is there one yet? There may not be one yet.
I haven't been given one yet, and that's what I'm really pushing for. You know, Drew, he's told me he's afraid. He's afraid for him to come back. He doesn't feel comfortable. We had a talk. I laid in bed with him the other night, and we talked about it, and he said, I don't think they can protect me. I don't think the school can protect me.
Have you had any communication with the parents of the bullies?
I have not.
And that's a whole different hour where parents step up, realize who your kids are, don't blindly take the side of your children, understand who they are. I would encourage that too. We have 1 minute left, and Jessica, I'm going to give you the final word. Anything else that you want to say?
I would say that it's the school's responsibility to find a way to protect him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Switch their class schedule, do what they have to do. Do not inconvenience the victim, and this goes for any instance. Mm-hmm. Don't inconvenience the victim, because that child has been punished enough by the bullies. They don't need to be punished by the school, too. There are several states that actually have laws in place where on the third strike, the third instance of bullying with the same bully and victim, the bully is immediately removed and sent to a different school.
Do we know if that's a Tennessee? Is that a law in Tennessee? Do we know?
No, it is not.
That'd be a good one.
That's what I'm pushing for in my home state of Alabama. That's a law in Georgia, and it removes the bully because the victim doesn't deserve any more punishment.
Well, Jessica, come north and push for it here, too. How about that? 659, Jessica Brookshire, thank you so much. K-A-R-M-A, it's called Karma, Kids Against Ridicule, Meanness, Aggression. And real quick, Karen, a website where people can go to find out more about the OVEAS training?
www.starschat.net.
Tracy Sims, Drew, thank you guys so much. Drew, appreciate your bravery. You did good, my friend. All right, good deal. 659, that's going to do it for this edition of Your Live Info Systems Technology. You guys are the best. Thank you so much for sponsoring this hour of Your Live News Talk 95.3. I'm David Carnes. Have a great night, WPLZ.